Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, muy buenos dias, buenas tardes, buenas... I don't know when you're listening or watching this presentation, but welcome, welcome, welcome to Business 121, Principles of Money Management at Southwestern Community College in Chula Vista, California. All of us at Southwestern are honored and proud and happy and grateful that you're with us. My name is Frank Piano, and I introduce myself elsewhere, and I'm your instructor. We want to say that we are so happy and grateful that you're with us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And our goal for this class, for you, is to make this the best class you have ever taken. I know it's a little over the top, but it is sincere. Let's get started. We start with a quote. It is a gloomy moment in history. Never has the future seemed so dark and incalculable. The United States is beset with racial, industrial, and commercial chaos, drifting we know not where. Of our troubles, no one can see the end. Did you see this on Skunk News yesterday? Badger News, Weasel News, Fox News. The world is going to hell in a handbasket. Yeah, well, if you ask people when they think this quote was written, they'll often say the Great Depression, World War II, maybe, 9/11. The global financial crisis of 2008-9. Actually, it was a whole lot earlier. It was Harper's Magazine, 1847. Did our country have serious problems in the 1840s? Yeah, it was about ready to rip itself apart over the issue of the peculiar institution. Don't call it slavery. The racial divide, the peculiar institution, interestingly enough, we're still fighting over things regarding racism. But so far, all these issues and predictions of gloom and doom have been not true. I mean, we have serious problems now. They had serious problems in the 1840s. We always have serious problems. But equating serious with fatal so far has not been the case. In fact, the last 200 years, the last 100, the last 50, the last 20 years have been the most prosperous years in the history of the world. Our standard of living is exponentially better than it was just 200 years ago. I mean, they hadn't even invented toilets yet. Yes, folks, outhouses were the way. You take it for granted, but a toilet is a wonderful invention, in my humble opinion. And I firmly believe, we'll see what happens, the next 20, 30 years are going to be even better. The technologies that we are working on, they're going to create some problems, no doubt, but they're going to fix a whole lot of problems, folks. Eventually, we're going to have driverless cars. I don't know when. We're going to have cures for all types of cancers, which is a horrible way to die. I like Woody Allen. I'm not afraid to die. I just don't want to be there when it happens. In other words, you want to fall asleep and not wake up. But with cancer, it doesn't work that way. Oh, but we're going to have the ability to talk to everybody in the world, almost everybody, because it's here. It's just not that good yet. Some device will be plugged into your ear, and it will automatically determine what language that person is speaking and then translate it into your language, a universal translator. These things are going to happen, folks, and I'm really excited. We'll see. We're also going to, because who knows, we could blow ourselves up, die in our own waste. Meteorite, tsunami, major earthquake, who knows what could happen. Disco could return. You laugh, but you weren't there, most of you. You weren't there in the 1970s when men were walking around in high-heel shoes. Well, they didn't call them high-heel shoes. They called them platform shoes, and very quickly men realized, these things are horrible. Let the women walk around in them. That way we can catch them better. They can't run in those high heels. Anyway, yes, there will always be problems, but so far we have solved them. Folks, we're going to solve climate change. We don't have a choice. It's that simple. We've got it. If we don't, Florida will be completely underwater. Places like Bangladesh will be gone. We're going to solve it. I'm optimistic. Let's see. But now let's turn our attention back to personal financial planning. It's not money that brings happiness, says an old Russian proverb. It's lots of money. Is that true? Well, we'll see later on. Maybe yes, maybe no. Slide number 4, our definition. Whenever you see something that's italics, that means it's important and it's going to be on the exam. Now, elsewhere you're going to see this study guide, so those are your terms you want to study. But a definition of personal financial planning is a little hard to pin down, and in fact, you'll find different ones. The one we're going to use is the first one. The process of managing your money to achieve personal economic satisfaction. Interesting choice of words, maybe written by a Rolling Stones fan. In other words, are you happy with the economic rewards you have received? Have you achieved satisfaction? But there are other definitions. The ability to use knowledge and skills to manage one's financial resources effectively for lifetime financial security, the process of realizing more enjoyment, there's the idea of satisfaction, from your income and improving one's standard of living while making adequate arrangements for a secure and comfortable retirement. The process of identifying assets, determining the classification of those assets in regard to both current and future needs, analyzing debts, expenses and consumption patterns, reviewing tax status, and addressing a host of other issues and concerns. That's from the life insurance industry. I think that's gotten a little out of hand. How would you define personal financial planning? What is important to you? What are some of the benefits of personal financial planning? Well, there are several advantages of effective personal financial planning. Increased effectiveness in obtaining, using, and protecting your financial resources. Increased control of your financial affairs. A sense of freedom from financial worries obtained by being able to look optimistically towards the future. And one thing we find, folks, is that people who are optimistic tend to be better off financially, they tend to be healthier and happier. And the pessimists say, well, they're just not being realistic. But that's what we hope for you. We hope that you're, with this class, are going to be able to look more optimistically towards the future and get a handle on your financial situation. Okay? And then the number one reason, I believe, for benefits of financial planning is improved personal relationships. What is the number one reason for divorce in America? It's money. You would think it would be hanky-panky. No, it's money. Yes. Slide number 6. Developing a flexible financial plan. Keyword on the flexible. A financial plan is a formalized report that summarizes your current financial situation, analyzes your future needs, recommends future financial activities. Your financial plan can be created by you, done with assistance from a financial planner, or made using a money management software package. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to develop a flexible financial plan. So here is the financial planning process that you would find in rigorous college textbooks. Number 1, determine your current financial situation. Number 2, develop your financial goals. Number 3, identify alternative courses of action. Number 4, evaluate your alternatives, keeping in mind opportunity costs and risks. What are those? Well, we'll talk about them in a bit. Create and implement a financial action plan and write it down. And then reevaluate and revise your plan. Does anybody really do all these things? You know, there are a few, But you know what? They're not much fun at parties, folks. Everybody's out there skinny dipping by the pool, and they're up in their room reevaluating and revising their plan. A lot of them are accountants. Okay, I'm sorry. Don't worry, we're gonna insult everybody by the end of the semester. So don't feel, if you're an accountant, you're being singled out. A spouse of an accountant has a very cool ability. If they're having trouble sleeping at night, all they have to do is turn to their loved one and say, "Dear, tell me about your day at work." Oh, I'm really digging myself deeply, aren't I? Slide number 8. Look, what's a more realistic and typical financial planning process? Well, here it is. Number 1, make money. Number 2, spend it. Number 3, go make some more money and spend that money and then spend a little more. Wait a minute. How do you spend more money than you earn? Oh, we'll talk about those wonderful little plastic things called credit cards, the bubonic plague of personal financial planning. Number 5, go into debt. Number 6, panic. And number 7, take business 121 principles of money management. Oh, yes, lots of anybodies have done this and can attest that it has definitely helped them with testimonials and the like. And so we hope to help you get a handle on your finances and not have to panic and have sleepless nights. Cool. Simply put, dear students, it all comes down to the choices we make. Opportunity cost. Now, this is a term that some people have a little trouble with. It's something you would spend a lot of time in if you took an economics class, Econ 101, because opportunity cost is real. It's a trade-off. It's what you give up by making a choice. You make one choice, it means that you cannot make these other choices. The opportunity cost, as we said, is sometimes referred to as a trade-off. People seem to like that term better. It cannot always be measured in dollars. Sometimes it's your time or your health. And we want you to consider the lost opportunities that will invariably result from your decisions. Now, sometimes we're not talking about anything very important, but other times we are. And you might hear, especially in an econ class, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Well, now, wait a minute. These people gave me this coupon. It says free lunch. Uh-oh, what do I got to do? Right, you got to buy maybe another lunch for somebody or whatever. You have to do something else. And you have to get there, maybe. It might be a long drive to get there or a long commute to get there. So if you're sitting and all of a sudden a lunchbox falls out of the sky and lands right in front of you, I guess. What are the opportunity costs of attending college? What could you be doing right now instead of listening to some guy burble on about finance? You could be working and actually making money. You could be out there having a good time at the beach. But why do we do it? Well, we use college. I think the idea behind higher education is to better ourselves, make ourselves a more well-rounded, expand our horizons, and for a lot of people, get a living, earn a livable wage with skills that are necessary in our modern, complicated society. Slide number 10. You see, it's a balance. We balance the personal opportunity costs, our time, our efforts, our health, and our financial opportunity costs, interest, reward, liquidity, which means how easy it is to get our money back, and safety, against the financial things, acquisitions that we are interested in. And there's a wonderful book originally written back in the 1980s by two people, but he passed away and she rewrote it, called Your Money or Your Life. Now, be careful. There's a few other books called that. It has spawned a bit of a movement called FIRE, Financial Independence, Retire Early. And they take this to an extreme, which we'll discuss more in more detail in our next chapter. But these people are serious. They They really believe it's your money or your life. Do you want to, you give up that most precious asset that you have, your time, on this small amount of time on this little speck of dirt in the middle of the cosmos for your money and the things that you believe you need? And maybe you do, maybe you don't. Slide number 11. Every financial decision involves evaluating some kind of risk. Inflation risk, rising prices cost, lost buying power, interest rate risks, which affect the cost of borrowing and the rate of return. We'll talk about bonds later on and see the inverse relationship of interest rates and bond prices. Income risk, the loss of a job. Personal risk, health, safety, liquidity risk. Not having enough beer for the weekend. No. That means the ability to actually turn your assets, your investments into cash. And what I call the culture of consumerism risk, or die working and in debt up to your eyeballs risk, which I think is real. Other people think, no. You want to die with the largest amount of debt, right? Because then you don't have to repay it. You're dead. That's a great strategy if you knew what day you were going to die. Now, can you safeguard against all risks? You know you can. There's insurance products that will safeguard against pretty much anything that you would have to worry about, assuming it's legal. But should you try? No, because you wouldn't have money for anything left over. It would all go to the insurance company. Implementing your financial plan. Developing good financial habits. We are going to use a well-conceived spending plan to allow you to stay within your income while allowing you to save and invest for the future. We're going to just create the two most important financial documents in our next chapter, the balance sheet, net worth statement, and the cash flow statement, or sometimes called the income statement. Have appropriate insurance protection. You know, we have a whole three chapters devoted to insurance. Become informed about taxes. Yeah, we got to look at taxes and investment alternatives. My favorite part of the semester. Achieving your financial objectives requires a willingness to learn and the appropriate information resources. And folks, there is an entire collection of armies out there wanting to sell you things and get you to buy their services and the like. And, you know, some of them are quite good and some of them are not so good. But there's plenty of good books. We have a bibliography that... That is very cool. It's called, one of my favorite books is the Your Money or Your Life. And we'll, not, I'm sorry. That's okay. I'm getting confused here. The Wealthy Barber, which you're going to see in the next presentation. Financial institutions, banks, credit unions, brokerage firms, mutual fund companies all want to help you. Life insurance companies, school courses and educational seminars. Taking this course is a great start. And then there are software programs, apps, and online information sources. The Infernal Net, folks, is an inexhaustible supply, and sometimes it's very useful, sometimes not. Remember, the more they're trying to sell you things and that celebrity status and all that other stuff, the more they have an ulterior motive to build their brand and get to separate you from your money, in my humble opinion. Remember, the book in this class is free. You don't have to buy anything. Often you can waive, W-A-I-V-E, your tuition. And if you don't want college credit, all the material's out there for free, folks. You don't have to take the class, and you won't get college credit, of course. You don't have to enroll in the class, but it's all there for you. And we believe, in our humble opinion, that we're doing the best we can to help you build your financial life, to help you, let me say this better, help you build a financial foundation for eventual independence, but just get a handle on your financial life. Okay, what are other influences of personal financial planning? Well, who are you? Marital status, household size, employment, major events, marriage, birth, or adoption of a child. Divorce. What's one of the worst things that can happen to you financially? It's also one of the worst things that can happen to you personally is divorce. Bankruptcy. We'll talk about that when we get to credit. Very unpleasant experience. Some people live for bankruptcy to screw over their creditors. One was the previous guy who was in the White House and went through bankruptcy 4 times. And another one was in the White House and went through bankruptcy 2. Where are you in your adult life cycle stage? Now, isn't this great? Adult life cycle stage. We can't just say, this is academia, right? We can't just say how old you are. We have to say, where are you in your adult life cycle stage? And never before have we had 5 generations with so many people in each generation living together at one time. It's pretty amazing. The traditionalists, the matures, these are people born before 1946. And as of the census of 2020, there are still 23 million. Now, every few days you read something in the news about another WW2 veteran who's passed away, and we're losing them, but they're still around. And their generation was very, very loyal. Their institutions, the government, got them through the Great Depression, helped millions of elderly people get out of poverty with Social Security, won World War II, and they are traditionalists. They are loyalists. The opposite happened to the baby boom generation. And this, until the millennials, was the largest generation. And there was a reason why it was called the baby boom generation. Because after World War II, it was your patriotic duty to have as many children as you could to beat the Ruskies. Yes, and I'm a boomer, folks. I'm a baby boomer. It was typical to have 4, 5, 6 kids in a family. If a family only had 1 or 2 children, there was something fishy about that family, probably communist sympathizers. But we boomers grew up at a time where we were screwed. Oh yeah, Vietnam. It was a total lie. The North Vietnamese Navy never fired on our Navy. And we got into Vietnam and it was a disaster. And 54,000 or so, 56,000 of us baby boomers died in that. So we don't trust you. And it was a time, it was a very culturally big upheaval with civil rights. We're not going to take it anymore. Women's rights, we're not going to take it anymore. Gay rights, my mother had a little problem with that one. She goes, why can't they just be quiet? The drug culture, sex and drugs and rock and roll, the counterculture. Yeah, it was a very difficult time. So we don't trust you. We don't trust, and with some good reasons. And then comes along Gen Xers, the quirky generation. Notice that there are fewer Gen Xers than the others. We're still seeing the effects of the Gen Z, but these are these people got slammed, right? As they were coming of age, the Great Recession, the global financial crisis, hit them square in the face. At the same time, at the time they would be buying houses and the like. And you see, for us baby boomers, rock and roll was a way to protest the man, protest the system. No, Gen Xers, no, rock and roll was part of the culture. MTV! I mean, now rock and roll is being played at football games and elections and on television and commercials. And it was just something that we boomers used as a protest. You know, I mean, you don't believe me, but Elvis was not allowed to be filmed from the waist down on television because his twitching hips were just too, yeah, sex and drugs and rock and roll all day and all the night. Let's spend the night together. See, these were protests. Gen X comes along and no, rock and roll is part of the culture and MTV and AIDS. You see, we boomers didn't have to worry about AIDS. And so Gen Xers really got hit hard. and they're coming of age now towards their retirement. Boomers are getting into retirement right now. Almost all of them will be done pretty soon. Next, 10, 15 years. But the Gen Xers are looking at it. The next generation is the millennials, sometimes called Gen Y. And notice, see, there was a bit of a baby bust after the baby boom with the Gen Xers. And 72 million millennials, as there was a bit of a return to normalcy here. And these people, this generation is just, I know more about this one than I do about Gen Z. But millennials, they just amaze me. That's why I am so optimistic. I'm so optimistic about the future. They have tools that we saw in sci-fi, and they are so powerful. It's just, it's amazing. This guy, Elon Musk, of course, he gets plenty of publicity, but he is pretty amazing. And almost 20 years ago, he decided he was going to create a rocket company where they were going to reuse the rockets. And the entire industry laughed at him. They thought, you're nuts. You can't do this. Especially the Russians, who just mocked him left side up because they have pretty advanced rocketry. And he said, no, we're going to do it. I don't care what you say. And so he hired mostly all young people because they weren't, inculcated. It's a fancy word for meaning they already weren't convinced that it couldn't be done. And when they did it, the whole world just stood up and went, how did you do that? Well, if you watch the videos of the people behind the computers, controlling the whole thing, they were all under 30 years old. They were all millennials. So I'm just really, really excited about the future. And the Gen Z supposedly is even more potent, but we're not even done the Gen Z folks yet. They still have a few more years before the Gen Z is actually over. But notice, again, a little bit of a lower, fewer people are having children, which is why we should revisit our immigration culture and policy, but probably won't happen. But still, different life stages, the takeaway, different life, adult life stages, different ages have different priorities. And we'll get, at the end of the course, we'll discuss the baby boom generation retirement time bomb. And it's turning out, it's not as bad as we thought it was going to be. It's not perfect. Nothing we humans have, but it's turning out a lot better than we thought it would. Cool. So let's continue with this t-shirt that I saw millennial wearing, SDSU. And I thought, there it is. There it is. Good, better, best. And in the face-to-face class, the guys would go, oh, no, 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 no. And I say, think about it. How much time do you spend making whoopee? How much time do you spend playing video games? And then they think, oh, yeah. Right now, we said you can either have whoopee with the opposite sex or whatever, or you can play video games. You have to really sit down and think about your priorities, because how much time do... And my son and his friends, he's a millennial, they often meet every night. Not every night, but most nights they meet. But they're not together physically. They're all in their own rooms with their headsets, talking to one another with people all around the world playing League of Legends, is it? Yeah, League of Legends. But there are other forums for millennials to get together, and they're not even together. And this is true, I guess, I'm not sure about the Gen Zs, but you see three millennials walking down the street. Two of them are texting, and the third one is talking on the phone to somebody else. So it's all connected. So that's why I tell you I am optimistic, because these people have tools that are amazing and have already changed the world. When you think about it, when you think about what happened in COVID, it used to take 4 to 10 years to get a virus vaccine out the door. It took 6 months for not just one company, but several companies all around the world to create vaccines for COVID. Now, not all of them were as good as some of them, but that's to be expected, But I'm just very, very optimistic, very optimistic. And I'm old. Usually when you get to be old, you get very pessimistic about the state of the world. And so it's a really famous, fabulous time. At the same time, there are tremendous scary things that are happening, specifically, not economically, but politically. The rise of authoritarianism. Yeah, yeah. In the introduction to investments class, we always say, you know, assuming the world doesn't end, you invest in these types of investments and you should do well. But if the world does end, it doesn't matter where your money is. Slide 16. Some other influences on personal financial planning include economic factors, the market forces, supply and demand, production costs and competition, the financial institutions, the Federal Reserve Bank, which has the power of the money supply. They can step on the gas to goose the economy or slam on the brakes to slow the economy down. The global influences of exports and imports and the economic conditions that include, oops, wrong one, consumer prices and inflation, consumer spending, interest rates, money supply, unemployment, housing starts, this means all domestic product, all the goods and services that we produce and consume, the trade balance, the trade imbalance, the budget deficit, the budget deficit, the budget deficit, and the financial markets. But since none of us have much, if any, control over these matters, we will focus on this, in this course, on the things that we can and do have control over. And by doing so, we control these larger, in economics you'll learn they're called macro factors, macro items in the economy. Why? Because you cannot separate the individual from the society. I mean, if there's a flood and you yell at this one drop of water and say, did you create this flood, you drop of water? The drop of water would say, hey, I'm a drop of water. What are you talking about? How could I create a flood? Well, right, a flood is a whole bunch of drops of water. And that's the same thing, it's the exact same thing with us. How do you separate the individual from the society? You don't. They are part of the society. By us, if we get our handle, get handles on our finances and increase our financial wherewithal and our satisfaction, then we, by definition, have improved the economic conditions for the society as a whole. If you want to change the world, change yourself. Okay, enough of the... I know it sounds like an advertisement right from the 1950s. So here it is, folks. Here is our class in a single slide. In chapters 1 and 2, we will discuss planning and create the two most important financial statements that you need, everyone needs to, for effective personal financial planning, the cash flow statement and the net worth statement. We'll discuss taxes, everybody's favorite subject to hate. Payments and savings, banking and the like, and savings accounts. Borrowing, credit cards, the bubonic plague of financial planning, spending, purchasing strategies, cars, housing, and then managing risk insurance, the necessary evil. And then my favorite part of the semester is investing, and we'll spend a goodly amount of time on that. And then at the very end, we'll discuss the final chapter of life, retirement and estate planning. So are you excited? Yeah? Go back over, look at the terms, look at the study guide, because we got a treat for you. In our next presentation, we will discuss goal setting. And that's our assignment for chapter 1. And we will learn that highly effective people, almost to a person, have this same trait. They are goal-oriented. And we're going to show you that if you're young and you set a goal for yourself and the world doesn't end, you can become very wealthy over your working career. Excited? You interested? I hope so. Thank you so much for being in our class. All of us at Southwestern College are incredibly grateful, incredibly honored, happy, and proud that you're with us. We want you to be awesome. See you in our next chapter, next presentation on goal setting and the time value of money.